Who's the president of Venezuela?
Well, that depends on who you ask.
Incumbent President Nicolas Maduro won a second term more than 8 months ago and was sworn in earlier this month. Critics say the election was rigged in his favor. The Venezuelan National Assembly and several world powers have said his presidency is illegitimate.
Just last week, the president of the National Assembly, Juan Guaido, declared himself Venezuela's interim leader. Moments later, President Trump tweeted that he's formally recognizing him as that country's president.
That didn't sit well with Maduro, who cut off ties to the U.S. and said America has long been trying to drive him out of power.
So what's going on in Venezuela? How did we get here? And what happens next?
Iñaki Sagarzazu is an assistant professor of political science at Texas Tech University. He specializes in Latin American politics, including Venezuela. Iñaki, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Yes, thank you for having me.
Well, give us some of the background and context for what took us to this week's tense situation.
You want the long or the short version?
How about the Cliff's Notes first, and then we'll dig deeper.
Yeah, in the Cliff's Notes, in 2018, we were supposed to hold presidential elections. These elections were rigged significantly by the incumbent government, to the point where the opposition did not participate in protest, and this was recognized by the international community. They held their own elections. They won their own elections where no opposition party participated. Many of the opposition leaders were voided from were not allowed to run. Their parties were voided in the election. And so that presented an interesting dilemma in January 10 when a new president would have to be sworn in. Maduro says he won the elections and he's the president, and the opposition says that these elections were not recognized by anyone, and as such, there's no precedent to be sworn in, and the Congress, following the Constitution, has to fill in the spot.
And in the backdrop here is this economic collapse based on, in part, on falling oil prices, in part on what's been seen as corrupt and horrible management of the nation's oil industry. Can you talk about some of the economic background to this story?
Sorry, could you repeat your question? I didn't understand well.
The economic background in Venezuela, what's happening there?
Well, there's a mix of different situations. On the one hand, we have since the 2000s control exchange, which means that our currency is fixed. The government has kept that control exchange maintained while the black market rate increases. So on the control, I can't remember what's the current exchange rate, but the difference between the official rate and the black market can be 1,000,000%, right? This creates all sorts of weird distortions. There's also control of prices. So companies cannot produce or import different goods because they can't really sell them at the price that it costs because the government has all price control. So there's a situation in which the economy is stuck. It's not growing. It's actually a lot of companies are closing. A lot of people are leaving the country. So the country is in a stagnation of sorts.
There have been protests against first the Chavez government and then the Maduro government. Who has been protesting? I've seen suggestions that it had been the middle class for a long time. Now we're seeing more working class Venezuelans protesting the government.
Yes, correctly. For the most part, up until recently, the opposition was mainly made by middle and upper classes. However, the crisis is so deep and the situation is so dire that we're seeing significant groups of lower classes protesting. And in the run-up to the 23rd of January, when the sworn-in of the opposition, Juan Guaido, you saw significant portions of the poor population in Caracas come out to the streets and protest against the Maduro regime.
Can you talk about Juan Guaido, who has now been declared himself and been recognized by many countries as the leader of Venezuela? What do we know about him?
He's a young politician. He was he sort of grew up or came out in the 2007 protest against Hugo Chavez. That led to the sort of first victory of the opposition against Chavez when he was trying to reform the constitution. He is part of that group of student protesters that led the opposition in those days. Since then, he's joined a social democratic party, and And that's it. That's all we know of him. He's the most interesting fact is that he's a very young politician of a new cohort of politicians in Venezuela.
Iñaki Sagarzazu is with us from Texas Tech University, looking at the latest news from Venezuela and the American response. The Trump administration is backing Guaido and urging other countries to support him. In a video made for the Venezuelan people last week, Vice President Pence called Maduro a dictator with no legitimate claim to power. Here's a listen.
The United States supports the courageous decision by Juan Guaido, the president of your National Assembly, to assert that body's constitutional powers, declare Maduro a usurper, and call for the establishment of a transitional government.
What do you make of the American, the U.S. government reaction to Guaido's declaration that he, in fact, is the leader of Venezuela?
Well, I think it's important for the opposition to count with the support of the international community. I think it was obvious to any political observer that this operation on the 23rd of January had been spoken with different countries and the representative of different countries. This was not just a spontaneous outburst. It was well organized, which is not something that we're accustomed to see from the opposition. I think the support of the United States has been important in that it gives a significant backing to the opposition because of the weight of the United States in world politics.
There was a press conference today where John Bolton, key national security advisor for the president, when asked about the possibility of a U.S. military intervention, said something like all options are on the table. What do you think of the prospect of U.S. military getting involved at some point in this?
That's a great discussion to be had. I think it would be a horrible idea. personally, I think the involvement of the U.S. military would be a horrible idea. It would, to a significant degree, confirm the worst fears of many in the international community. I think it's something that the government, the U.S. government, has is considering. It hasn't taken it off the table. I would hope that it would be a last resort, that we don't get to it. I would hope that there are better moves to be had to pressure the military, especially to switch sides and side with the opposition-controlled Congress.
What kind of moves would you like to see from the United States to that end?
Well, we're seeing today the U.S. government blocked, sanctioned Venezuelan oil company. The U.S. government is trying to help the opposition to exert control of assets of Venezuela in the United States. I think that's a powerful move. It would give the interim government some credit claiming as to the fact that they are protecting the money of Venezuelans, that it's in foreign accounts, that they're not allowing the Chavista regime to steal it on their way out. It would give them a way to show the military, look, this is serious. You better switch sides before it's too late. And so I think those signals to the military to say, look, this is serious. This is the new government that it's recognized by the international community. It's your moment to switch sides, right? To follow the amnesty law that the Congress is proposing and should be adopting soon. Those are the signals that we need to see for a peaceful transition.
The United States has intervened in Central and South America many times over the years, militarily, politically, economically. Are people, and maybe we can't generalize, but are people in Venezuela and the region skeptical of anything the United States does?
Yes, I think there have been many visible and non-visible interventions of the United States in the region. Many of them end up with significant casualties and deaths by the local community. And also, to a big extent, these haven't been interventions to promote democracy as much, but to change unelected leaders. What people are asking for is a true commitment to democracy in Venezuela, right? A true commitment to the humanitarian crisis that Venezuelans are suffering. And to avoid that militaristic approach that the U.S. has been so keen to follow in the past.
It seems like the worst case outcome here in Venezuela would be some kind of a civil war, maybe military units taking opposite sides in this dispute. What do you hope to see to have a peaceful and positive outcome here?
Yeah, that is definitely a very significant situation that could arise. From what I've been reading from experts in the military, they say that the military is trying to avoid at all costs that split. Hence the delayed support that Maduro got on January 24th by the military. There seems to be significant concern in the rank and file military about continuing to support the regime. Again, what we're hoping to see, what people, Venezuelans are hoping to see, what people wanting a change are hoping to see, is that the military steps aside from the conflict, that it stops repressing citizens. As we've seen, we started to see in the last set of protests by the opposition, that the military just let them be peacefully in their protests without repressing, as the Maduro government has been willing to do.
Iñaki, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you very much for having me.
Iñaki Sagarzazu is an assistant professor of political science at Texas Tech University. He specializes in Latin American politics, including Venezuela. We talked with him about the ongoing unrest in that country and U.S. policy there.